Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimebo.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Inside the Huddle video podcast, our second of the week from Radio Row here in the Super Bowl Media Center in San Francisco. The music's been cranked up, which is just what you want when you've got to talk for a living. My regular partner, Jeff Rimebold, is here. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds, and we are joined right off the bat today with a very special guest, a man who was once the agent for 60 first-round draft picks, 8 number one overall picks, some of the very best quarterbacks in the game, the man who they modeled Jerry Maguire on, Lee Steinberg. Lee, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Neil.
And tell us then the role of an agent. Obviously, you're... Well, what are you? Are you a business manager? Are you part of the family? What's the key role of an NFL agent?
The key role is listening so that you can peel back the layers of the onion and delve into someone's deepest anxieties and fears, their greatest hopes and dreams, so you really discover what will fulfill them. And then to help them be a role model, we ask them to go back to the high school, collegiate, and professional community and set up charitable and community activities, high school scholarship fund, collegiate scholarship fund, and then a foundation at the pro level like Warwick Dunn has just put the 145th single mother and her family into the first home they'll ever own by making the down payment. And then it's preparing them for second career. A number of the players have gone on to be minority owners of teams, big business successes. And then it's to help a player navigate the route to the draft. Right. So it's getting them trained, getting them ready in football for an all-star game, the scouting combine, or a pro scouting day to help present them as best. And then mentoring them into understanding that the engine that pulls the train is their football prowess, so not to get unfocused, to make sure that they smoothly integrate into the playing unit.
You know, Neil, our listeners have to appreciate this. I think when you consider that on any given Sunday, 32 NFL teams are out there playing, and at one point, this is how big Lee Steinberg is. At one point, on one Sunday, half of the quarterbacks who were taking snaps that day were clients of Lee Steinberg Agency.
Wow. Who did you root for?
Well, it reminds me of when Pittsburgh played Dallas years ago in the Super Bowl. I had all 7 quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
And then you represent the defensive backs, and so it's so you have Troy Aikman going up against Neil O'Donnell or Warren Moon going up against Steve Young. So it's a little schizophrenic.
You know, Neil, and again, Lee's such a humble guy, and I've been blessed to have gotten to know him through my association with June Jones, working with June Jones at Hawaii and both at SMU. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on this one. You were a young student at Cal, at the University of California here in the Bay Area, and they had a quarterback on that Cal team by the name of Steve Bartkowski, and you convinced Bart to let you be his agent, and you were a college student at the time.
Actually, I was a law student.
Okay.
And I was a dorm counselor in an undergrad dormitory. I had to make sure one wall was left standing. And they moved the freshman football team into the dorm, and one of the students was Steve Bartkowski. So I graduated from law school, and he became the very first pick in the first round of the 1975 NFL draft. And there I was, brimming with legal experience, and he asked me to represent him. There really was no sports agency then. Teams could just hang up the phone and say, we don't deal with agents. So we got the largest rookie contract in NFL history, and it was then going to Atlanta I saw the incredible idol worship and veneration that athletes were held in communities across the country, how they could be amazing role models.
Lee, tell us then, you just touched on that Super Bowl, Pittsburgh and Dallas, where you had every quarterback in the game. We're looking ahead to this Super Bowl, the 50th Super Bowl, Peyton Manning. I guess it doesn't apply as much to Peyton Manning, but because he's on every commercial out there. But what can winning a Super Bowl do for an NFL quarterback?
The Super Bowl is the most transcendent marketing opportunity there is for an athlete in this country. It's this week of build-up. unbelievable numbers of stories filed, both electronically and print. And then if someone like Cam Newton, who's fresh-faced, handsome, telegenic, hasn't been written about before this year all that much, gets built up, plays dramatically, there'll be a whole set of interviews that come out of it, and he will not just be a football player, he'll become a household name. It's that dramatic.
We've got to ask you about Jerry Maguire. Talking household names, we've all seen the film, we've all seen that famous scene where they have to show me the money. I mean, A, what was it like to be sort of involved? Were you involved in the actual making of that film? And have you ever had to shout, show me the money?
Well, Cameron Crowe, the director-writer, followed me around for almost a year and a half. So he went to the NFL draft in 93. He went to a press conference with Bill Parcells, the league meetings, pro scouting days at SC, number of games, Super Bowl parties. And he spent a lot of time in my office, and I told him stories, lots and lots of stories. So then they had to vet the script to make sure the willing suspension of disbelief that keeps you in a motion picture didn't get broken. I worked with Cuba Gooding Jr., took him down to a Super Bowl, who played the Rod Tidwell, made him pretend he was a wide receiver client all week. So I've never been able to walk through and I was a technical advisor, I've never been able to walk through an airport, sit down at a restaurant where someone doesn't come up and says, show me the money.
I apologize.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Hey, Lee, now, obviously, the agent game has changed dramatically since the 70s when you started the whole thing. Now with draft slotting, how has it affected what you're able to do for a client in terms of negotiating contracts?
So the economics are very different now. First of all, the fee cap's 3% in football. Second of all, the agent has the wonderful privilege of paying for players to be trained for 4 to 6 weeks after the season. And you now have a salary cap. The old salary cap in 93 was meant to take the money away from players, but I had the first pick in the draft year after year, and we found ways around it. This is a much tighter cap. They intended to move the money to proven productive starters, and they have largely. But don't feel real sorry for those first draft picks. The first pick in the draft this year probably gets an $18 million signing bonus.
And you're going to be involved in the build-up to the draft. We'll have the draft on Sky Sports again this year in the UK. And you've got Paxton Lynch from Memphis. So tell us about him and how excited you are to be working with him.
I'm thrilled. It's another franchise quarterback. It's a quarterback-centric game, so they're going to be boosted up in the draft. He's 6'7". He has hands that are almost a foot long. He's huge, but he can get outside the pocket. He can scramble nifty like a much smaller player, elongate his body on third and one to get the first down, throw downfield. New mode, like a Cam Newton, tall, big, athletic, like Ben Roethlisberger, but a little more athletic. So he's probably got the highest upside of any quarterback in the draft.
Now, Lee, we know you talked about the second careers that you like your players to have. That's very important to you. Your clients donated, I read, more than $600 million to charities around the world. That's important to you. But concussion research is something that's very close to your heart, isn't it? Tell us about that.
I had a crisis of conscience back in the 1980s because my quarterbacks kept getting hit in the head. We'd go to doctors, ask them how many is too many, what's the magic number. They couldn't tell us. So we actually held a concussion conference in 1994, over 20 years ago, with leading neurologists. The players were there. We issued a white paper, neurologists on the sideline, new concussion helmetry, whole series of changes, sent it to every team, nothing happened. In 2007, we did it again, and then the neurologist told us that three or more occasions, an exponentially higher rate of Alzheimer's, ALS, premature senility, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and depression. So I've called it a ticking time bomb, an undiagnosed health epidemic. We urgently need to get into the business of a new concussion helmet that can use coil and compression to displace the energy force as it comes in, stop having kids play football so young that's tackle, and not tackle with the head and neck, and new nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals that can heal the brain. Otherwise, there's an existential threat at the midst of this culturally dominant game.
Lee, I'm getting the nod. We are out of time with the super agent, Lee Steinberg. We thank you so much for joining us here on Radio Row.
Thank you so much, Lee.
All right, so we are looking ahead to Super Bowl 50 on Sky Sports this Sunday night. It's the Denver Broncos against the Carolina Panthers. We're on Sky Sports 1 and Sky Sports 3. The action begins at 10 p.m. at Levi's Stadium. Yes, we're still on Super Bowl Radio Row here for the Inside the Huddle podcast, joined now by Arizona Cardinals defensive lineman Frosty Rucker. Frosty, thanks for joining us. And I guess fresh from championship game not so long ago, how is it feeling to be that close to the Super Bowl and now you're here kind of with us talking about it instead of practicing?
Well, it's good to be here. Now to the fans out there. I've been across the pond yet, but I would like to go out there and visit you guys and possibly play a game out there before my career is over. But it's good. It's good to be here. I wish I was playing in this game, obviously, and not hanging out with you guys.
Right. Well, that'll make us feel good, Frost.
But, you know, it's part of it. But, you know, it was a heck of an opportunity for us to get all the way to the championship game last year. We got to the wild card and didn't finish. This year we got to the championship game and didn't quite work out in our favor. But it's all experience. And the way our team has been since Coach Bruce Arians has been there is – step by step, and we're getting better and better. So hopeful next year is the year.
Well, let's stick with that championship game first and talk about the Carolina Panthers then, because they got off to a fast start, which they've done a lot this year. That's kind of been their thing, is to get off to fast starts, and you know, they'll be looking to do the same again in Super Bowl 50. But what are the challenges? I mean, you've been there trying to bring down Cam Newton and face that team. What are the challenges when you face Cam? And I guess it's the entire offense, because it's an offense that's rushed for over 100 yards, 31 straight games.
They're phenomenal at what they do. Obviously, we all can sit here and talk about Cam and what he can do, running the ball as well as throwing it. But their O-line needs to get more credit than they do. They
I agree with you.
They block very well. They open up holes for the running backs and for Cam to have the time to sit back there and throw and run. So I think they're the nucleus of that offense.
You know, Frosty, there's a group of UK fans called Bird Gang UK. It's the Cardinal fans in the UK. And I think they would really love to hear you talk about the Arians effect. You've been around this league 10 years in the league. You've played for a lot of guys. Bruce has got that swag that players love. Talk about what it's like to play for him.
Absolutely. He's like Uncle Bruce out there. I mean, he's very approachable, a likable guy, a great coach, a phenomenal leader. And he has that effect that you know, you call it the Bruce effect or is the Arians effect. But he's got it. He's got it all. He leads us to battle every Sunday, but it's throughout the week that we really gain our knowledge from him, because he breaks down the course of a game, the situational football that a lot of coaches don't break down to you. And he's been tremendous in my growth in my career, obviously just ending my 10th year. I couldn't be coached and having a better time to be coached by a guy like that.
You know, as a guy now, 10 years in the league, as you get to this game and you come here and see the circus that it is, and you recognize that that window now is starting to close on you a little bit, do you get a deeper sense of urgency about getting back here as a player?
Oh, absolutely. It's the pinnacle of all sports, you know, besides horse racing. I'm a big horse race fan. Just want to throw that out there. I am. I go to Derby every year. But it's the pinnacle of all sports. And to be on the stage where everyone across the world is watching you, and, you know, it's just it's a true testament of all your hard work ever since you were a little pup or a little lad.
Nice, son.
There you go. I say, my man.
We call him mate.
Sit in to get in.
A little mate. But, no, seriously, it's just a combination of all your hard work and dedication to get there. And obviously we were short, but to be at this level and to play in a Super Bowl or just even sniff wind of you have a chance, it's just an unbelievable feeling. And hopefully if any younger guys are watching this that inspired to do this, work your tail off, because, you know, the sky's the limit. If you keep chopping wood and get everyone on the same page, you know, you can create that. You can get to where you want to be. And we came up short, But I say it now, we're on everyone's heels, and we should be where we want to be in Houston next year.
Especially with your defensive guys flying to the football, Carson Palmer can still sling it. So talking quarterbacks, though, and then we'll move on to the defenses in Super Bowl 50. We talked about Cam Newton, obviously a very physical threat that he provides. What kind of stresses does Peyton Manning put on a defender with the things that he can do at the line of scrimmage?
Well, it's not only is Peyton playing versus the defense, he's playing versus the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So when you have a guy like that that's been in the league for 20 years that can dissect and seen every possible defense that can be thrown at him, seen every type of athlete, especially coming off 2 years ago when he played versus the Seahawks and they got after him pretty good. I'm sure he's going to have a great game plan going on, but Peyton is just phenomenal. And if he can control the tempo of the game and don't let Carolina just get off and get sacks, if he can control, they run the ball really well and play the clock, I think they have a tremendous opportunity to win this game.
You know, you've rushed inside, you know, and that's the hardest place to rush from, down in on the guard. There's no space in there. But in this game, we're going to have two guys that can really rush well from inside. What are the secrets about rushing these guys, these guards inside, and which of the defensive lines, Frosty, do you give the nod to?
That's a good question. If you're going to go defensive line as a whole, I got to go Broncos because across the line, they are ready to go. I know Carolina does have a fantastic front, but Jared's a little banged up. So I'm wary to see how he comes off the ball and being effective. But I'm going to have to go to Broncos on that one.
All right.
I think they got tremendous push-ups in the middle, and then their outside guys, there's no one better in the league right now.
How about offensive line? How would you compare the two offensive lines?
Well, I didn't get to play the Broncos this year. I played them last year, and they did a solid job when we went up there. But just going against Carolina and knowing how they can block because they have a running threat as a quarterback, I got to give it to them. You know, it's one thing when you watch the games and there's not very many sacks on Cam. He does get sacked from occasional, you know, a coverage sack or whatnot. But you have to be very cautious in your rush lanes. And our coaches preach that when you're playing a quarterback. You can't just be all out of control because one little slight of a hole, he'll take off.
Right.
And you're
right.
You're not accounting for the guy.
Right.
So like a traditional quarterback like a Peyton, you can rush freely, I should say it like that.
Right.
You can rush freely because you really don't think Peyton's going to run.
Sure.
You know, but Cam, it's a red flag there. So you're rushing more cautious, and then that's when he'll sit back there and pick you apart. But if you're like, all right, you get over aggressive, and he's going to take off and run. So I got to give it to them again.
All right, Frosty, we've been asking our guests to tell us some of their most memorable Super Bowl moments. But because I'm the only Brit up on the stage here, us Brits, we like to have a little moan about things as well. So you can go two ways with it. You can go your favorite Super Bowl moment, or you can go things about Super Bowl that you hate, because it can't all be great about the Super Bowl. Let me just give you my, because I'm a little bit of a grumpy old man sometimes.
Right.
The thing I don't like about the Super Bowl, Frosty, I'm going to tell you now, mate, all right? When the final gun goes and that confetti comes down, why do they have to flood the field with 500 photographers? I want to see you guys celebrating on the field. You don't. They've got lenses as long as your arm. They don't need to be. Do you not feel me? You're not Gavin?
I feel you. I can't argue that, but I've never been in the position, so if I ever get there, I don't care if they're there. You know, if the confetti's coming down and it's all on me, it's all good.
Let me worry about that for you. What about your favorite Super Bowl moments, Jeff?
Favorite Super Bowl moment? I think I'd have to go back when the Giants beat the undefeated Patriots.
Uh-huh.
What's that, about 8-9 years ago?
I'm old.
Season, yeah. Yeah, that was my second year in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, growing up in Southern California, played at USC. Now there's a team back in L.A. Any thoughts about going home and finishing her up back there?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited. I tell you, I don't know how the Rams are going to do, you know, either flying from St. Louis, because I don't know what practice facility they have in L.A., but I'm treating it like a home game when I play in the Coliseum. And you know that. There's me and Carson play, you know, we played at USC, and that's another home game that we can have. And
fight on.
It's great. This point of our career, you know, we're old guys, but we get to, you could say, finish it at home, but get another chance to play there. Not a lot of guys can say they play in the league and get to come back and play at their alma mater or where they play their college ball.
It's a huge honor. Absolutely. Frosty, we hope you join us next year, but we also hope you don't, because we hope you're in this big game. So we certainly wish you all the best. Thanks for joining us. That's Frosty Rucker of the Arizona Cardinals. All right, so we are looking ahead to Super Bowl 50 on Sky Sports 1 and Sky Sports 3, 10 p.m. from Levi's Stadium. It's the Carolina Panthers against the Denver Broncos this coming Sunday. Okay, the guests are coming thick and fast on today's Inside the Huddle. We're here in Radio Row's Super Bowl Media Center in San Francisco, joined by Super Bowl linebacker Dahani Jones and a friend of NFL UK. Been over and done a few things together, Dahani, over the years. Welcome to our show.
Oh, thanks for having me. And you know, I can't wait. I can't wait till it's more of a regular basis that everybody goes out to the UK and plays football. I mean, it's amazing in terms of how much it's grown and how many games are now being played over there. I think guys are really excited about
now,
it.
Now, wait a second. As a player, right, do you think the players feel that very same way? I know you're an international cat.
No,
you're out doing things, wrestling alligators,
playing rugby,
doing sumo.
Here's the thing. If I was playing and there was a franchise in the UK, I'd be on that team in a heartbeat.
Would you really?
Oh, I would. Absolutely, because I know that I'm going to be over there, especially if they're going to pay me in pounds. Of course, I'm going to take it.
It's all about the money.
We didn't tell you about the tax brackets.
You know what? I don't care about the tax brackets, because I'm going to find some loophole over there. I'm going to find some family that's going to take care of me or do something over there. But, but the game is moving that direction, and it's exciting to be able to see that, to be able to be a part of it, to go over there, experience it, live it. I mean, working with you all, Sky Sports, being over there, NFL, being over there, seeing NFL, you know, Mark Waller's doing a fantastic job, and he's pushing pushing that agenda, and I think it's something that people are starting to accept, and I think it's going to be exciting.
Well, it's gone from one game experiment to three games, and now talk of a franchise that talk doesn't get laughed at. It's talk that's being taken seriously.
You know the league. The league's not going to talk if there isn't some substance to it, because the league don't just chatter.
The league doesn't just mess around.
Exactly.
We make things happen, and next year the Bengals are going to be playing over there, so I'm definitely going to be able to go over to the game and watch and spend more time over there in Piccadilly Circus. I'm going to be hanging out there.
All right, brother. Now I got
there. I'm going over there. You know, I just love being over there in the UK. I love being in London.
All right, I got to ask you this question, because, you know, I've been a football mercenary, a missionary, whatever you want to call it. When you were doing your show and you were going all around the world trying sports from all these different countries, all these different cultures, did you give a little football? Did you give a little football back when you were wrestling sumo wrestlers?
Wait, sorry, right? Are you saying did that other side of me come out when I had to go?
Well, those.
Of course. That's the base that I've always had. But I mean, I would say even past football, I mean, I had the base of multi-sport and being able to do different types of activities from when I was younger. I mean, my very first sport was swimming. So I mean, it doesn't really apply to something like Prado Saray. It doesn't apply to things like, you know, Thai kickboxing. It doesn't apply to swinging, or it doesn't apply to all those different types of sports. But at the same time, it gives you the capacity, and that's what playing different types of sports allows you to do. And that's why I got so excited about doing the Travel Channel show, and now even be able to migrate from there to be able to doing my Playbook 360 show, which I do on Spike, and meeting different players. And you know, I was over with Paul Simtex, you know, from they call him Simtex, right? From Bellator. You know, he's from the UK. He's an amazing fighter on Bellator, and I interviewed him on Playbook 360 on Spike. And you know, it's Paul Simtex Daly. I don't want to mess up his name, because he'd get really upset. He might try to literally. How would I say literally?
Literally.
What do I say?
Literally.
Literally. Oh, please.
Yeah, literally.
So we're not in Mary Poppins.
Not Mary Poppins. Literally fight me. Paul Simtex Daly. Simtex. Yeah, that's my boy, you know.
You mentioned swinging. I don't even know what that is, but I feel like it's a subject we should steer well clear of. This is a family show after all. So, Dahani, we're looking ahead to Super Bowl 50, and Jeff often talks about this. There are very few men walking this planet that get to run out onto a field on Super Bowl Sunday and start in a Super Bowl. You did that with the Philadelphia Eagles against the New England Patriots. So for us mere mortals, what's that like?
Mere mortals. Yes, I am the Thor of our day. I am Thor. Thor's going to come down and be like, no, you're not Thor. You're not. Try to pick this up. And I'm like, it's the most amazing experience ever. The entire world is essentially watching. Nowhere like the world is watching now, though.
Right.
right? The digital ecosystem has created an environment where everybody now is seeing this game. I mean, whether you're Snapchatting, whether you're Instagramming, your Facebook, you're tweeting, I mean, there's some things that we haven't even seen invented that everybody's using because they're all under our age.
Is it still in the newspaper, though?
Yeah, it is in the newspaper. It's in the newspaper. It's streaming. It's all over the place. But, you know, you walk out and you feel everybody watching you. But when it comes down to brass tacks, it's about winning a game. Yeah. We lost.
You know, Rivera brought Eugene Robinson in to talk to his team this week about what went on when he was, you know, in Super Bowl week. If you had that same opportunity to talk to both football teams, what would be the message, the uncensored message that you would try and impart to those players?
Well, censor it a little bit.
Well, I mean, you're talking about in terms of preparing.
Just as a man, getting ready for the game, about what this can, you know, what it's about.
I would say, quite frankly, that the only thing that you will remember from the Super Bowl is the game.
Really?
That's the only thing you're going to remember.
None of the hype, none of the buildup,
No, you're not going to remember the parties that you wish you were at. You're not going to remember the people that you wish you could have seen. You're not going to remember the meals you had. You're only going to remember the game, and probably not even the entire thing. You're only going to remember the win or the loss. Yeah. And so focus in and understand it's a different type of week and try to minimize as many distractions as possible. I know it sounds cliche, but it's true. I don't remember the time in Jacksonville when I played the Super Bowl, except the fact that we lost.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah. We're looking ahead to the game on Sunday, and so many great linebackers in this game. Obviously, on the inside, you've got Luke Kuechly, you've got Thomas Davis, who's going to play with it. All right, let's actually start with Thomas Davis before we talk about Von Miller. And how does a linebacker play with a broken arm? Is this going to be possible for Thomas Davis to do?
Look, by virtue of the definition, a linebacker plays. That's it. It doesn't make sense to what you say, mere mortals, right? It doesn't make any sense. We play. That's our responsibility. Our job is to be out there regardless of however we feel. We'll deal with that later. Okay, we'll deal with that in a different moment. We'll deal with that at a different time. Our time we're focused on is playing. And that's what Tommy Davis is doing. He's going out there and he's doing what any other linebacker would have done in his position.
All right, now, looking at those two groups of linebackers, you got three first-round draft choices in Carolina, and then you've got the great bookend. They're really more ends than linebackers in Denver. And Marshall and Danny Trevathan, both really good players. Who do you give the edge to?
I definitely give the edge to the Denver Broncos. I mean, you just point out Von Miller. You point out where? Who are you going to block? Who are you going to block? You can't block both of them. I mean, you can run.
This is landmark now. Do you really believe Denver has a chance in this game?
I know Denver's going to win this game.
You know that.
I know Denver's going to win this game.
Get that on tape.
What?
Dahani Jones.
You tweet at me at Dahani Jones. You can talk to me, D0057. You can go to my hell of a good dip page on Pinterest, and you can talk to me there. You can find me. I'm in Cincinnati. I'm right here, okay? Sitting right here in Media Row. Come talk to me. Denver's going to win the game. Why wouldn't they win the game? It's Peyton Manning.
If he can't throw it from here to there.
You know what? You know the great thing about that is?
What?
He knows that.
Well, at least he knows that. That's true.
You think he learned that during the course of the season?
He didn't know that.
When did he learn that? As you look at him now as a player.
He learned that when he got benched.
Do you think Kubiak had that in his mind when he sat him down?
He learned that when he got benched. Hardest thing for a man to do is realize his own weakness.
Right.
Hardest thing for a man to do is realize his own weakness.
Getting deep now.
Right?
I'm getting emotional.
He's a Michigan guy. He's a thinker's in Michigan.
Realizes his weakness. He said, and the other day, he said, without the defense, we wouldn't even be here.
And that's true.
When has he ever said that?
Never.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a story this week.
Let me ask you.
Hang on, Jeff, just on that, on Peyton. There was
a
story this
case.
Week.
Arrest my case.
Peyton was ranked. They ranked the players in this game from 1 to 106. Peyton was ranked 22nd. I mean, when has that ever been the case? But he knows that, and I think he tries to play with those limitations.
Question. As a competitor, though, brother, do you think – isn't that hard for him to look at it that way now after being a guy that had those Indianapolis teams on his shoulders?
Look, that's exactly why they're going to win. It's because he's going to take that Lombardi trophy, he's going to announce his retirement, and then he's going to give it to his dad, and then he's going to take a break for a little bit, go fishing, maybe spend some time on his couch, maybe he's going to play a little table tennis, and then he's going to be a head coach in the National Football League and guaranteed less than 5 years. He's going to make that transition just like Jason Garrett did. And I've been able to play with both of them. I know when people will become head coaches. I've lived and worked with every single one of them.
All right. Well, we look out for that, Peyton Manning, the head coach. Now, we're going to say goodbye here on the Inside the Huddle podcast. We are finished for today, but we'll be back tomorrow, and we're here every day up until Super Bowl 50 on Sunday. But, Dahani, Jeff always says goodbye like he's where his homeland is, from Hawaii. So, you know, I'm just going to say goodbye normally because that's all we do. Well, you probably give us a cheerio, governor, or something. And then, Jeff, you can take us home after that.
You got it.
Y'all have a great evening.
Aloha.